This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
But the question I guess we could ask ourselves is, who is bearing this disadvantage now? I think it would be the people who are invested, well, most of us, the CPF members, bearing the backlash of the people who can take it out anytime they want, which is really the minority, people who are CPF rich. So I hope you can see now why the loophole needs to be plugged, because the primary purpose of the CPF is to provide at least a basic retirement lifestyle for the low to middle household in Singapore. It is not meant to give special advantage to the richer ones who have more resources to explore other options. It is unfair for the majority of the CPF members to be subsidizing for the minority.
Welcome to Invest Talk. This is a series by the Straits Time podcast channel, Your Money and Career. At Invest Talk, we talk money matters and all things related to investing. We want to give you that extra edge in managing your hard-earned money. I'm Lee Su Shan. Joining me in the studio is Ven Srinivasan. We are both senior columnists at The Straits Times.
Welcome.
Today, we are discussing a topic which has generated much heated discussion, that of the CPF special account. In February 2024, Budget 2024 sprang a surprise. It announced that the special account, SA, will be closed for members aged 55 and above from early 2025. SA savings will be transferred to the retirement account, RA, up to the full retirement sum, where they will continue to earn long-term interest rates. The remaining SA savings that are withdrawable on demand will be transferred to the ordinary account, OA, and earn the short-term interest rate. Members can voluntarily transfer their savings from the OA to the RA at any time, up to the prevailing enhanced retirement sum, to earn higher interest and receive higher retirement payouts. However, the news was met by an uproar. The reason for the unhappiness is that the special account earns 4.08%, although going down to 4.05% soon, while the ordinary account earns 2.5%. Many people have focused on keeping funds in the special account to earn that higher interest. When people turn 55, funds are taken from the special account first before the ordinary account to set up the retirement account. However, some members take out some special account funds a few months earlier, invest it in a short-term investment like treasury bills. Once the retirement account has been set up and the treasury bill matures, the funds are returned to the special account and members continue earning the higher interest rate. Hence, the removal of the special account disappointed a good many members. But perhaps we should look beyond this change and talk more broadly about the changes to the CPF life and how it can be a key pillar in one's retirement planning. Today, we have a guest with us to discuss all the ins and outs of the special account and CPF life. Mr. Christopher Tan is the founder and CEO of Provident, a fee-only wealth advisory firm. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Chris. First, perhaps you could give us a bit of a historical perspective on how and why the ordinary, special, and retirement accounts were established. We also have the MediSave account.
Yeah, so I think that many of us, we do not know that actually the CPF board was established even way before the country became independent. So CPF board was established in July of 1955 to provide some form of social and financial security for workers in the old age or in disability. Because back then, you know, the government, they thought that, you know, workers may not save for themselves. And it was only some of the MNCs that actually has got pension funds. So in order to make sure that these workers are taken care of, CPF board was established. Now, CPF was primarily set up to meet three basic needs. So firstly, to allow people to have a fully paid home. Secondly, to meet their medical or healthcare expenses. And thirdly, when they finally retire, they can have a lifelong stream of retirement income. And it is a fully funded scheme in that both employer and employee, they will contribute into their CPF, and the government in a way help to grow that CPF by paying them risk-free interest rates. So when you ask, I mean, what are some of the purpose of these accounts? So very generally, I would say OA allows you to pay your mortgage. SA allows you to accumulate a sum of money for retirement. And MA, the medical, or rather the MediSave account, allows you to have funds to pay for your medical expenses. And of course, finally, Once you turn 55 and above, you have your RA, which subsequently will turn into a spending plan to fund your basic lifestyle needs post-55, or rather post-65.
Thank you, Chris. Now, have these various accounts and the funds in their accounts served their purpose? Also, if they have served their purpose, why change it? Why fix it if it ain't broke?
I mean, I've given a very high-level use of the three accounts, but maybe let me just unpack it a little. Yeah, so for OA, it serves as the most liquid of all the accounts, and there are four primary purposes. So firstly, as I have mentioned, we can use the monies in our OA to pay for our mortgage. We can use also the monies in our OA to fund our children's education or lend it to our children for their education if they study in the various tertiary institutions in Singapore, like the five universities, the five polytechnics, the two colleges of arts, such as LaSalle, Nanyang Academy of Fine Arts, or our children study for a diploma program with ITE. Of course, 1 year after they graduate, they are supposed to pay back into the OA, because the primary purpose of CPF, as I mentioned, is really for retirement and not for education. Now, the other use of our OA money would be buy insurance for retirement purpose, and also to invest under the CPF investment scheme. So there's four purposes in OA, very liquid. If people use it to fund all these purposes, then it's quite likely when they reach the age of 55 years old, they won't see much money in OA. Special account, well, it's really meant as an what I call, quote-unquote, accumulation instrument to help people save up to their retirement fund. And therefore, people are allowed, if they want to use the money in the SA to buy investments for retirement purposes. Now, money in SA can also be used for contingency, especially when, you know, when people run out of money in OA, they lose their job and they don't have cash to pay for the mortgage. On a case-by-case basis, CPF Board does allow people to make use of the SA to pay for mortgage. And for MA, it's really to allow people to pay for their medical expenses and to pay for the premiums of approved insurance such as MediShield Life, the integrated plans, ElderShield, and of course, most recently, CareShield Life. Now, so if you think about all these purposes of the three accounts, I think they have served their purpose. They serve all these purposes. And I mean, you ask the reason for the change. I think really is to keep in line with the objective of these accounts and to be aligned with investment principles, because the purpose of the special account is to help you accumulate a sum of money. And then once you reach 55, it's supposed to be transferred to the RA. So really after 55, the special account need not be there anymore. And as we all know, special account gives pretty high interest rate at 4%, but yet gives liquidity. From investment standpoint, it doesn't gel, right? So if you want a higher interest rate, you should not have liquidity. So I think that's the first reason for the change. It's really to go back to the primary objective of CPF and align it with investment principles. And the second change is about increasing the amount that we can put into our RA. Right? And that's why the new enhanced retirement sum from next year onwards will go up to four times of the basic retirement sum. Currently, it's three times. And it's really to allow people to put in more money to build up their retirement adequacy.
Right, Chris. So do you see the removal of the shielding option, was that the really the main reason for members' unhappiness?
Yeah, I think it is, because, I mean, there were two changes being announced during budget. And first one, as I mentioned, is to allow people to top up more money into the RA. And I mean, it's optional. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. So I don't see why people will be unhappy with that. In fact, I think for people who wants to put in more money should be quite happy that now they have an option to top up more. However, the closure of the special account after age 55 from next year, I think that really affected people who are CPF rich. Right, because in the past, after 55 years old, after they set aside the full retirement sum in the RA, right? Because as we all know, once we turn 55 years old, CPF Board will go into our SA and OA to take an amount equivalent to the full retirement sum. And after that, whatever money balance in your OA SA, it becomes like cash. You can take out anytime you want and you enjoy high interest rate, especially in SA at least 4%. But with this new announcement, SA is going to be closed. They are not going to be able to enjoy this privilege anymore. I think this is the one that really caused people, thankfully a small group, because not many people have that much money in their SA. But the people who are affected, this is the one that really make them upset.
So, Chris, I guess because some people have called this a loophole, which implies it should be closed, with some people taking advantage of the rules to earn a higher interest rate. Is this something you would agree with?
I guess it depends on whose perspective we are coming from or we are looking at it from, right? So, well, I'm 54 this year, turning 55 next year, and you can say I just missed the boat. And I should be the one that's actually very, very upset, because from my point of view, I'll be thinking, why are you stopping me to earn a higher interest rate so that I can have better retirement adequacy, right? I mean, what's wrong with me doing that? I'm not breaking any rules. It's a feature of the CPF. And I'm not being unfair to anyone, right? And just because there are some people who cannot take advantage of it doesn't mean that I'm unfair, right? So people like me would naturally think that way. That's my perspective. I don't see it as a loophole. I see it as it's just a feature of the CPF. If I can make use of it, I mean, why should you close it? But what if this so-called loophole is really not being fair to the majority? Let me explain. So today, if I'm a fund manager, given a mandate to manage a pool of money to return at least 4% per year, this means that as a manager, I need to invest this money into a basket of equities and bonds with an expected return of maybe, say, at least 5%, because I need to account for the expenses, right? And to get 5%, I have to invest in equities and bonds. I can't just keep it in very safe instruments. And to do that, I need a certain number of years to ride through the ups and downs of the markets, say at least 10 years. And that means that as a manager, I cannot allow you to take out any time you want. Otherwise, if the markets, they are down, I need to sell some of these equities at loss to give you the money, right? But to prepare for that possibility, because you may want to take it out, I need to set aside some cash from the pool of money you give to me. So if you give me a dollar to invest, I may have to set aside, say, maybe 10 cents as cash. That means not every cent can be invested. That means either I cannot get the return that I need because there is what I call a cash drag, right? Because in the past, I could have invested $1, but now I can only invest 90 cents, right? So I can't get the return from the $1 that you give me. I may need to now invest aggressively to still get a 5%. And the whole situation now gets worse when more and more people want to withdraw in the short term. But the question I guess we've got to ask ourselves is, who is bearing this disadvantage now? I think it would be the people who are invested, well, most of us, the CPF members, bearing the backlash of the people who can take it out anytime they want, which is really the minority, people who are CPF rich. So I hope you can see now why the loophole needs to be plugged, because the primary purpose of the CPF is to provide at least a basic retirement lifestyle for the low to middle household in Singapore. It is not meant to give special advantage to the richer ones who have more resources to explore other options. It is unfair for the majority of the CPF members to be subsidizing for the minority. So yes, even though I'm upset, I just missed the boat, but I should not be upset because I guess that's the right thing to do.
Interesting. So, Chris, is there any bright side to this change? For example, the increase in the enhanced retirement sum?
Well, Van, I think honestly, I think for people who have done CPF shielding or plan to do it soon, if you ask them whether there are any bright side to this, I think there aren't a lot to be positive about, right? But the truth is, I think while SA shielding, this thing called SA shielding may be dead, CPF shielding is not dead. Technically, it is just that you can't keep your money in SA now after 55. You can only keep it in OA. And at 2.5%, if you think about it, it ain't that bad, right? I mean, you have at least got this base interest rate of 2.5% in your OA. You decide what to do with it. If the interest rate environment remain as high as it was like the past 2 years, you can always choose to take the money from your OA and invest it into higher yielding instruments such as T-bills. There are banks that offer FDs that's pretty high. And so you can do that. But if the interest rate environment remains or rather revert back to what it was like in 2021, 2.5% is not too bad. So now you see you have money in the OA. It's like a base. You at least get 2.5, but you have the option to get a higher interest rate without taking much risk if the interest rate environment goes up, right? So I think we got to look at it that way. But yes, like what you mentioned with this change, CPF board has also increased the amount one can top up into their RA after age 55 to be 4 times of BRS. And next year, that amount will be 426,000. So while you can't keep money in SA after 55 from next year onwards, if you want to. You can transfer the money into RA if you want to get a higher CPF life payout from as early as age 65.
Given where we are now, Chris, what should CPF members do? Should they consider moving all their funds to the retirement account? What about CPF Life? CPF Life is set up for all members once they turn 65. This is where the funds from retirement account are transferred as well. How should members view their CPF Life? Is it akin to a pension fund for members, where they draw down an annuity payment? How can members boost their reservoir of funds to increase their monthly payout?
Yeah, I think what we should do will really depend on what was your original intent for the money in the special account after age 55. Had the government not closed it? Right. So that's the question I think listeners should ask themselves. Right. If today the SA, the special account is still there after 55 years old, what was your original intent of the money? So if your intent is, if it's meant for it to be kept in there for a longer term, you are not going to draw down as young as age 55. You want to draw it down much later. Well, members then can choose to top up their RA up to 4 times of BRS, right? Because it's not meant to be drawn down until many years later. So yeah, one consideration is now the money is in OA, transfer the money from OA to the RA up to 4 times BRS. Well, so they can either do that or they can also top up to their RA using cash, right? So if you have got lots of cash in a low interest bearing account, you might want to do that first, right? But if you don't have, then yeah, the other option is to now transfer monies in the OA to the RA up to 4 times of BRS. But of course, as you all know, it's irreversible. You don't have any liquidity in your RA, so you must accept that loss of liquidity. And maybe another advice I'll give is that the amount that you want to transfer into your RA must not form a substantial portion of your total liquid wealth. Let me give you an example. Let's say your total liquid wealth is just 500,000. I don't think it's very wise to transfer up to 426 into your RA because most of it now is stuck into an illiquid account, right? But if your total liquid wealth, say, is $1 million, then yeah, maybe just having 426K stuck in RA without liquidity may be more acceptable, right? So that's the first thing you want to consider. The second thing is maybe you ask yourself, the original intent of my money, had SA been around, is I just want to set it as a reserve. I don't even think I will touch it. Right, I don't think so. No immediate use of it. Well, for members who are in that situation, they can choose to invest a portion of their money in the OA because now there's no more SA. It's all in OA now. So they can invest a portion of that money into higher risk instruments such as equities. But they must really ascertain that they have the ability to stay invested at least for the next 10 to 15 years, right, to ride through the ups and downs of the market. But for members whom they say that, no, you know, after 55, I need to draw down this money immediately for my retirement, right? Maybe consider this because I worked out some numbers to show that actually the impact is not that great, right? So for example, if you have 200,000 in your special account after setting aside the full retirement sum in your RA, and before this change, assuming you want to withdraw $3,000 per month, adjusting for 3% per year inflation, your SA balance, if you draw down that $3,000 per month, will last you about 5.7 years. But with the change, your SA will be closed after age 55, and this $200,000, instead of remaining in SA, will now be transferred to your OA, earning 2.5% per year. And I worked out the numbers, and, well, this same $200,000 will now last you about 5.5 years instead of 5.7. So that's just 0.2 years difference. It's just like less than 3 months of difference. So I think this shortage should not be a problem at all, especially if you've got other resources. But let's just say that you really want the money to last 5.7 years. Then just spend about $100 lesser each month. Right? Now, another option for you is to consider stretching your dollar a bit further. Now, again, what do I mean, right? So this $200,000 is in your OA now. You can split it into different buckets. The first bucket remains in your OA for immediate drawdown. The second bucket can be in a very short term, sort of like a 2-year single premium endowment. Today, I think they are giving about 3.5%, which is better than 2.5. And the third bucket can be in investment grade bonds, giving a higher return than OA. So you are breaking your money in OA into three different buckets. One bucket for immediate drawdown, another bucket you don't need it until maybe 2 years later, another bucket maybe 3-4 years later. So that's what you can do. And please allow me to just touch very quickly about CPF Life. I mean, CPF Life, it really depends on how much payout you need or want. If you want a higher payout, then top up your RA up to the new ERS next year. And the one thing we need to know is that CPF Life is an annuity. And the purpose of an annuity is to mitigate longevity risk. So if your health is currently not good right now, and that is going to affect your longevity, and especially if you know that your family medical history is such that the life expectancy at home is not very long, then I would say think about whether you want to put so much in your CPF Life. You might not want to put in so much. It's a subjective call, but that would be the advice I would give.
So the bottom line would be for CPF members to be cognizant of the changes and how it will impact them, but not rush into investment decisions using their CPF monies. Remember, the CPF nest egg is primarily there to ensure retirement and old age financial adequacy. Even with the closing of the SA after 55, there is the RA or retirement account which will still yield at least 4% in interest rate return.
Thank you, Chris. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Invest Talk, a series by the Straits Times podcast channel, Your Money and Career. I'm Lee Soo Shen.
And I'm Ven Srinivasan. If you'd like to read our column, there are links in the podcast show notes. Happy investing.
Send your feedback to podcast@sbh.com.sg. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or within our Straits Times app. Thanks for listening.
Do note, all analyses, opinions, recommendations, and other information in this podcast are for general information purposes only and are not intended to be relied upon as financial advice. You should not rely on them in making any decision. Please consult a fully qualified financial advisor or professional expert for independent advice and verification. To the fullest extent permitted by law, SPH Media shall not be liable for any loss arising from the use of or reliance on any analyses, opinions, recommendations, and other information in this podcast. SPH Media accepts no responsibility or liability whatsoever that may result or arise from the products, services, or information of any third parties. All opinions expressed by participants in this podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of SPH Media.